Welcome back to Racing Pulse. In the next hour, we've got plenty of news coming your way. We're going to catch up with Shane Jackson, star jumps jockey, foreman to Lindsay Smith. We'll get some inside word on some of Lindsay's runners this week, and also a trainer in his own right. But we'll debate, or we'll continue to talk about the debate to change the Warrnambool Carnival with Shane Jackson. He's very strong in the camp of it's not broken, don't try and fix it. We'll also catch up with Terry Henderson. He's just come back from a European adventure where he's purchased a lot of horses from overseas for OTI. We'll get an update on their stable stars heading towards the spring as well. And I'm looking forward to catching up with Jacob Biddell, who is a greyhound trainer who trained his very first winner last week, part owned by Jamie Carr and a lot of racing personalities. He also rides work, works for Lloyd Kennywell, so he's got a great tale to tell about his love of racing and also now as a greyhound trainer. And we'll also catch up with Lee Modishead and Shay Eden, who's had a tough couple of weeks as well. So plenty of news to come on Racing Pulse. Speaking of news, it's now time for Jackson France. He's got plenty of news. Hello, Jacko. How are you, mate?
Very well, thanks, Michael. And yourself?
Very well indeed. It was great to catch up with the Shadow Racing Minister, Tim Bull, before, and he speaks like a passionate racing man. There's no bluff, there's no bluster. He gets straight to the point, and I thought it was interesting what he had to say about especially one of the biggest and most talked about issues, Sandown.
Yeah, he was brilliant, Michael, listening to him discuss all the issues in racing and the political landscape that's obviously changing now that we've lost Martin Pakula, who was such a passionate racing man and did great things throughout the COVID pandemic to keep the wheels turning. But such a big issue in racing at the moment is the potential sale of Sandown, and I thought what Tim had to say made a lot of sense as well. So let's have a listen to what Tim Bull had to say this morning on Racing Pulse with Michael just before 9 o'clock.
And I think we need to keep it. I don't think we should be giving away a facility like that into housing development, but that's just a personal view, of course. But I think as the MRC has said, quite sensibly, I might add, that there is a balance that can be reached here. It is a very, very large parcel of land, and that portion of it can be developed while retaining racing, and that's the path I would personally like to see it go down.
I think a lot of people would agree with the Shadow Racing Minister that selling off part of it to get some money back for the MRC, maybe the racing industry as a whole, but to retain it as a racing centre does make a lot of sense. Now, we've also got that new parcel of land which Racing Victoria have bought, and we'll determine what they do with. The other major point that the Shadow Racing Minister, Tim Bull, spoke about was the infiltration of the Greens and the anti-racing sentiment, which they have always had and will continue to have. But as Tim Bull said, what we need to do is hopefully keep them on the periphery so they don't actually have a major say. So this state election is going to be huge for racing, because there could be a lot of independents, a lot of Greens that will be trying to get more power, and we need it to remain a dominant major party which has the passion for racing moving forward. So it'll be fascinating to see how that builds up. We will have a chat to the new Racing Minister, Anthony Carbines, who was announced yesterday, in the coming days as well. What else is making news, Jacko?
Yeah, there's some sad news announced yesterday morning from Arrowfield Star that they confirmed the death of their superstar stallion, Not a Single Doubt, who he had a progressive lung disease and was retired from stud duties.
How old was he?
He was 21, Michael. Yeah. So he's retired from stud duties in January 2020, and the condition had obviously just worsened, and he was humanely euthanised yesterday morning, which is sad. He's obviously left a mark on the breeding industry. Interestingly enough, he was the first stakes winner for his champion sire in Redoute's Choice, and he went on to do great things. He obviously was only a listed winner, trained by Graham Rogerson and Tony Vassell, and then he covered his first six books of mares at $12,500. So he wasn't getting the best mares. He wasn't, you know, meant to be a superstar stallion, but it just goes to show that they can come from anywhere. The likes of I'm Invincible started off a similar service fee, and he obviously sired the likes of Extreme Choice, and his first Group 1 winner was the star filly there, Miracles of Life, when she won the 2013 Blue Diamond. So it's a sad day for Arrowfield Stud, but he's left his mark. He's obviously got Extreme Choice, who's kicked and carried those bloodlines, and now Farnan's there standing at Kia Ora Stud. So it'd be interesting to see if that can continue, but some sad news there yesterday, yep. Michael.
Absolutely. We're going to catch up with Lee Modishead for a European update, and we'll talk about Very Elegant with him. But the news is that we may see the Melbourne Cup champ earlier than first expected.
Yeah, so Bray Sikolsky, one of the key owners in Very Elegant, confirmed yesterday that she could potentially step out as early as August in the Group 1 Prix Rothschild. She's now trained by Frances Henry Griffard, and apparently she's going great guns at the moment, and it's all roads lead to the Arc de Triomphe in October, Michael.
She runs the first week of August. I've got some negotiating to do because I'll be over in Europe around that time.
Do you know where you're meant to be on the itinerary at that stage, Mark?
We're meant to be in England. So anyway, we may have to do some negotiating.
You have to let Jackie know you'll be in France at that time.
Yeah, never know. What about, we spoke to Robert Heathcote. He had a great weekend, Group 1 yesterday, but he's had this positive swab hanging over him, and yesterday there was a big announcement.
Yeah, so Rob Heathcote was fined $34,000, Michael, after pleading guilty to administering Hemoplex across the last 12 months. It's actually just a supplement that they use for horses, but it was banned last year after they said that it contained cobalt. Heathcote, he said that he didn't actually know that it was on the banned list, and he's going to sort of challenge that decision as well. So he's going to hopefully get that $34,000 fine removed, but he did plead guilty to using it as well.
All right. That's Robert Heathcote with the news there yesterday. And then we heard the Brekkie boys this morning have a chat to Warrnambool's Matty Stewart about this proposal to change the Warrnambool Carnival. We're going to have a chat to Shane Jackson in a moment, but let's have a listen to what Matty Stewart had to say, and then I'll see what the listeners think.
Yeah, you know, tradition, obviously, it's hard to move away from tradition, but I just think it's worth looking at and discussing and the pros and cons. And, you know, a couple of years ago, we had, you know, the COVID carnival when there was only a couple of days, and one was a feature jumps day and the next was a feature flat day. And to be honest, the feature jumps day, I reckon, had a lot more excitement, a lot more buzz about it without crowds and stuff like that than probably the next day. It fell a little bit flat. So I think it can work, boys, and I think it's certainly worth thinking about.
So Matty Stewart's in the camp of, I think we can change it. It'll be good to have the flat features on the Wednesday, the Wongoom and the Warrnambool Cup, and then we have the Gallywood and the Grand Annual on the final day. Now, you're a young man, Jacko. You're a racing, passionate next generation, I suppose, fan coming through. What do you think about the three-day carnival?
I don't really have a firm opinion on where the races should be scheduled throughout the Warrnambool Carnival. I've never really been right across the jumps racing landscape, so that's probably something that I feel as though should be left to people like Matty Stewart, who are so passionate, or a Tim Old, Kieran Ma, Simon Wilde and the like to make those decisions. But it'd be interesting to see how it does play out. I am looking forward to hopefully getting down to the Warrnambool Carnival next year. Matty Nevitt's been able to get in and get down there while I've been stuck back in the studio producing the last couple of years. But no, what's your take on that, Mike?
Oh, for me, I'll leave it as it is. I don't see any reason to change it. The crowds were brilliant this year. When would they run the Gallywood? On the race day, when would they run the Grand Annual? Would they push the Grand Annual back to race six or in the Gallywood before? I'm not too sure. I like the idea of having the feature flat race and the feature jumps race on the crescendo, the culmination of the three-day Warrnambool Carnival. It's got people talking about it, though. Tim Old, back page of the Warrnambool Standard today. He spoke to Gay Waterhouse, and Gay Waterhouse said, don't touch it, leave it the way it is. So it'll be interesting to see what Racing Victoria and the Warrnambool Racing Club decide to do.
Yeah, there's good arguments on both sides of the conversation, Michael. As I said, if you were to bring those races forward earlier into the program as well, you're going to get your horses racing on like better track conditions as well, as we saw this year with the heavy rainfall. There was a lot of chop
out. Warrnambool
in
May. It won't be that much better.
But, yeah.
Hey, Jacko, great job. We'll take a break. We'll have another Jacko, Shane Jackson, up next.